And now it's time for Blossoms of My Life Radio with your host, Ramona Trevino. Ramona is a teacher, a pastor, a three-time author, and radio host since February 2018, helping people share their But God moment and helping people see and be the blossoms in life.
This program is a production and sponsored by Blossoms of My Life Radio Ministry and listeners like you.
Now here's Ramona.
Thank you for tuning in to Blossoms of My Life Radio. I'm excited to bring back a guest that we had on a couple weeks ago. Her name is Heidi Forsyth, and she was sharing about her testimony of where God has brought her, and we kind of had our time cut short, but I know there's testimony in where her ministry work, you know, anything that we do in with our jobs, our ministries, there's people that we're going to be touching and affecting and being able to speak life into. So I wanted to ask her back so that we could extend some time to talk about where God has taken her now. And so good morning, Heidi. How are you?
Good morning, Ramona. I am doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. I got excited, and then the time, you know, it goes by so fast. You saw how that was. It's like,
yes,
wait,
I have
more to say. And so, you know, just to kind of recap, we were talking a little bit about your testimony and how, you know, just the idea that you would be going into a facility to bring skills that you didn't even yet know that you were going to be achieving, you know, to get your teacher's credential and everything. And now you're, you know, a professor at Bakersfield College here locally, and then a program comes up. So I wanted to just kind of start there and let you talk about that opportunity and how it knocked on your door.
Absolutely. It's interesting when God calls us to do something and we run from it.
Yeah.
We run from God's calling, kind of like Jonah, right?
Yep.
So it was really interesting. I had just finished my master's in education, and I was like, I'm not going to teach. Because I had experienced my student teaching that particular year was very, very rough. And I thought, you know, surely, God, you've made a mistake. There's no way that I'm going to be a teacher. And at the time, I was teaching K through third. And it was a very rough year.
Oh, yeah.
So many things were just rough and different. And so I decided, okay, Lord, since this isn't what I'm going to be doing, because I always gravitated towards adults and not towards children. And just kind of as a recap, you mentioned, the message that God had put in my heart was, I want you to teach, but it's not what you think, and it's not where you think. And I thought that, you know, and I held on to that for so long, thinking, oh, so it's teaching that's going to look like this. Yeah. And so I think that was part of my problem is, you know, when God gave me a message, I was like trying to fulfill it myself. And so in the effort of that, I just hit a lot of road bumps, and, you know, God was trying to talk to me, and I just was listening in a different direction. In any case, I began a second master's because, like I said, I was telling God, no, this isn't the direction. And then eventually, I needed a job because I stepped away from, secondary teaching, and I started subbing and doing all these different things. And then eventually, in the process of me being unemployed, I had some support, and I was guided to put an application in at the college, which I did not believe was even going to go through. But it did. And there I was, you know, employed with the college, and it was just amazing how it all happened. And so I began to teach at the college for about a year and a half, and we were starting a program. The college was starting a program called the Inmate Scholars Program. We now have changed it to the Rising Scholars Program. And so at the time, I think it was 2015, there was a big push. I think the Second Chance Scholarship that was given by the federal government had come back because it was back, I was around in the 80s or 90s, and it came back, and there's this big push for education inside the prisons. And we really started beefing up our program, and we had one of the largest programs in the state.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we were, the gal, Chelsea Skevious was the director, and she actually has a God story too. So I'll have to connect you to her.
Yeah.
And she started the program, did amazing, amazing work for the program, and asked me, "Hey, would you like to teach for our program?" And one of the reasons why she had asked me, in terms of my own knowledge and my understanding, of course, God was leading her as well, was because we were really pushing the communication program. So what students were going to be getting was a communication degree. So we were pushing the comm degree, and I work in the comm department, communication department, and we were really needing more instructors to go in. And so I took the challenge. I didn't know how I was going to, like, I wasn't really thinking about much except like, wow, this is pretty exciting because, you know, all the raving that they did about the program. But that first semester really hit me emotionally and spiritually. My brother was killed in a drive-by when I was 14 years old. He was 17, and he was in and out of juvenile hall prior to that. My mom sent him away to Mexico so that he just would be away from the gang life and all of that. When he returned, only for a wedding, and he was going to go back to Mexico. And he was here a month. And I had just given my life to the Lord at 14. And so I just come back from youth camp, and God was just doing amazing work in me. And I remember the last night I saw my brother, he was getting himself ready for this party he was going to. The wedding had already occurred, and so he was getting ready to leave back to Mexico, and his friends reached out to him, and he's getting ready to go to this party. And I looked at him in the mirror, and he and I didn't see always eye to eye, you know, sibling right. rivalry. And I remember looking at him from the mirror, and I said, "Oliver, if I can get you to LA, would you go into a program to help you with some issues?" Because he had a drug addiction. Right. And he looked at me, and I was really shocked. He said, "Yeah, I would." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, there's hope. And so he left for the party. And that was a Friday night. We had church on Friday night at that time. And the irony of it all, he was shot in a drive-by over off of Potomac. No. I think it was Potomac. It was right around the corner from the church that I was attending. And that Sunday, I was at a fast. And at the time, we would fast and go to church at 6 in the morning. And he was shot around 2 in the morning.
What?
Yeah. And so I was always getting dropped off at church because I was the right. only one in my family that was attending church. So somebody dropped me off at church across town and then went back home to Lamont, which is about a 15 to 20 mile difference. And I get a call at 7 in the morning that from my grandmother at 7:30 in the morning, they called the church. You know, we didn't have cell phones at the time. And they let me know what had happened. And I stayed in church the entire day. I didn't want to go home. I just really needed that refuge. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, you're a young teenager. You just got saved. And so then it just kind of like, whoa, you know, it kind of rocks your world trying to figure that out because you're just barely learning about who God is. And so that probably had a lot of, that's probably one of the reasons why you didn't think you would end up in teaching in in the institutions, right?
Absolutely. So my Oliver was the first one to be incarcerated. My oldest brother, he was also incarcerated
wow.
at two different times. And my sister was also incarcerated. And while I did go see them at least one time, I didn't want to. I didn't want to go to the prison.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. And so now here God's bringing it back full circle.
Yes. He's bringing it back full circle. I'm there the first semester. And I felt like I fit right in.
Wow.
It was weird. It was so weird. It was like I didn't have fear of being inside the prison. I wasn't scared that they were going to do anything to me. And mind you, I'm at a level 4 facility. Most of these people are doing life and have done heinous, heinous things, and of which I don't look into their records. But I didn't feel scared. And while my siblings have never... You know, they were in prison for drugs or, other felonies that weren't like a violent crime. I didn't feel afraid. And it was like, and I would tell them, I would always tell them the story of my brother. I still do.
Good.
I still do, because I'm going to go into the prison this semester. And it's usually the first story I share about my brother to really relate to them and help them understand that they're human beings and they're my students and I'm here to help them.
Right.
But I feel at home in a really weird way. I feel like I'm reaching out. Obviously, I'm not reaching out to my brother, but it just feels like a connection to my brother in some way. One thing I realized through this, and I've been teaching at the prison since 2015.
Wow.
I've been teaching at the college since 2013.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it's been since 2015 inside the prisons. And I have always opted to teach inside. I don't teach on our main campus or our sister campuses. I'm mainly in the prison now. And so one of the things I've realized, Ramona, is that a lot of my students didn't have visitation. And it's hard for them to... And especially being in prison, you know, just 1 year, mine, forget that. Like, these guys have been in prison 13 years, 20 years. And some of them have been in prison at a very young age. At the time when they, many of them committed their crimes, you know, the state was still prosecuting children as minors as adults.
Mm.
And so many of them have been in prison at 14, 15. And so now they're adults and they're still finishing off or doing their time there, of course. Now the state does it a little bit different, but nonetheless, you know, they have to deal with crime and they have to deal with, you know, that kind of thing. But what I realized is that they weren't getting a lot of visitations, and it's very common. The research shows that women are the ones that typically visit the men, whether it's the mother, the grandmother, or the girlfriend. But when women are incarcerated, they hardly, very seldomly get visitations. But even some men, like, or several men, they don't get a whole lot of visitations. And why that's what I saw and why that was significant for me was because it took me back to when I was young and I didn't want to visit my siblings. And while I visited them one time, I didn't want to keep going. And my brother was incarcerated. Oliver was incarcerated at juvenile hall, probably for a span of 6 months. His was the shortest term, I think. It was 6 months. My sister was in and out of jail, and I did see her at least once. But my older brother, he served two separate terms, and they were both lengthy. One was 3 years, and I think both were 3 years separately. And I think I only saw him once in those 3 years.
And you know, just to interrupt a little bit, and I apologize, but you know, because you had that own personal experience, you're kind of able to answer that why question for them.
Yes.
Like, why doesn't anybody come to see me? You kind of can go in depth over what that felt like for you and why you made that choice personally not to go. And then, you know, I mean, you probably had to deal with that why also with yourself, but you're able to help them.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I am in pursuit of doing and I'm not really sure how I'm going to do this. It's something that I really was pursuing more intensely, then kind of dropped because of the work that I'm doing, just focusing on teaching, is to talk to families. Mm-hmm. And maybe go into prisons indirectly, not with the work that I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. and talk to people that are incarcerated and share with them the other side, I suppose.
Yep.
But also go into communities and express to them the importance of seeing their loved ones who are incarcerated. And with that population is also not only people that are incarcerated, but the elderly and the homeless. It seems like it's like a different population, but it's really not. And so I actually have developed a talk called "For Remembering the Forgotten," and just to address the people that we forget. You know, elderly sometimes are put away in a home and they're not visited.
Yep.
We forget them and we let someone else take care of them.
Yeah, I like
and,
that.
Yeah,
I like that. And so now when you're going in, it's a semester course. What exactly are you teaching them?
So I teach anything. Well, not anything, but I personally teach about 3 or 4 different courses, whatever the I'm assigned to. But it's typically public speaking, which I'll be teaching this semester. Small group communication, which I taught last semester. Intercultural communication, which I also taught last semester. This semester, I'm teaching interpersonal, and those are the 4 main courses that I teach.
And so they have to do writing, they have to do get up and speak in front of people. You're teaching them all of that?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach them the process of speech writing.
That's good.
And research. And so, yes, it is a lot of writing, but it's mainly a lot of speaking, which most people, incarcerated or not, are fearful of.
Yep.
It's one of the top 3 fears of humankind or humanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Moses, remember, he's like, I don't want to go up there.
Yes.
So it goes all the way back.
Send Aaron.
Wow, that's so cool. And you've been doing it for so long. We'll have to talk a little bit off the air. I want to talk to you about more about that. There was something else that you wanted to talk about too. On Instagram, was it table?
Oh, the Come to the Table.
Yeah.
Yes. So about 2 years ago, I went through kind of a missions training, and I came back with, the Lord just put a burden on my heart. He had given this to me like prior to me going to the missions training, and he just kind of revived that. And it's called I ended up calling it Come to the Table Project. It's Sidewalk Prophets sing a song, Come to the Table, that it's so beautiful.
Yep.
About inviting people to just come and eat at the table of the Father. And it's just so, so powerful. So the Lord just put this burden on my heart. He said, I want you, God just talks to me in just weird ways. I want you to put a table and chairs in your trunk. And I want you to find people and set up a table and invite them to eat, invite them to talk. And I was like, really, God? That's like all you want me to do? It was so weird. And I took it literal, and I put table and chairs in my trunk, and with my pastor's permission, I said, look, the Lord put this on my heart and gave me his blessing. And so I started going to a local park here in Bakersfield, and I set it up and started having conversations with people who many times happened to be homeless, but not all of them were. And I would bring food because, you know, they're probably going to be hungry, but that wasn't the point of it. It wasn't feeding the homeless. It was having conversations with humans.
Praise God.
And yeah. And I think sometimes we kind of overlook the importance and the value of having a conversation with another human being and just being present with them and validating them as a human being. Because I've done this too, where sometimes you walk by and someone is homeless and you don't even look at them. You know, maybe it's like, oh, I don't want to give you money because I think you're going to use it for drugs. And whether they will or won't, who knows, right? But sometimes we don't even have a conversation with them. It's like they don't even exist. And so the Lord just really burdened my heart with that. And at the time when I came back from that mission experience and I started doing that, my classes, because it was COVID, some of my classes were being canceled at the prison. So I had a lot of time. And then two of my classes at Cal State, because I also teach for the university, were being canceled. So I had a lot of time on my hands, and the Lord just gave me this huge opportunity to really do this work. And so now I'm working three jobs. And so time is very scarce right now. But I want to go back and continue those conversations.
Wow. And I probably, you've met some really amazing people. You had opportunity to really be the hands and feet of Jesus at the table.
Yes. Yes. It's been amazing. Everyone has a story.
We all do.
Everyone has a story. And it's just really beautiful to hear, you know, these stories. And sometimes they, you know, it's hard when you're, some people actually, there was a few people that really, they were okay with living on the street. Others, you know, sounded very hopeless, but it's amazing how positive some people that were living on the street were. I was just, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I have a Pastor Casey Addington. I'm going to have to introduce you to him, but I've helped him out on Saturdays. He's been blessed to be able to do this faithfully every Saturday for 2 years now. He's in his second year. And he puts out tables over on Sumner and Baker Street.
Okay.
From 10:30 to 12. You have to try to go over there and just join and just meet and pray with the people that come. It's just so amazing. He's got his regulars. It's right by the mission there. So a lot of them go eat their breakfast at the mission, then come across just to meet with Pastor. I love the conversation. I love the idea that we get to pray for people right then and there. We've seen some amazing testimonies of people being delivered from drugs and just being able to getting into a home, you know, and start that next phase of their life. But yes, definitely. I think, like, if you think about it, Heidi, what if somebody, this just triggered somebody's heart where they're like, oh yeah, table and chairs, I could do that. And think about all the different communities that could be listening to this across the states. And if maybe just one person in each community packed a table and chairs and then did what you're saying and actually did it, right? Yeah. I mean, just think how powerful that would be to all of a sudden have these table and chair talks pop up.
That would be amazing. That would be phenomenal.
And you have an Instagram group on this, right?
I do. Yeah, it's called Come to the Table Project. I have to be a little more, I need to be more active on it, but I do have a few posts.
And so maybe people can go to your Instagram and maybe do a challenge, Heidi.
I like that.
Yeah, maybe you can do a challenge. Go live, do a challenge after they hear this, you know, broadcast in February. Then do a challenge and just say, you know, okay, start showing me your conversations and your tables. Start showing me what you're doing and posting.
And then start tagging. I like that idea.
Hashtag the state, hashtag the city, and let's see how far God takes that.
That sounds pretty awesome.
That would be amazing.
Yes, that, I mean, if you start this phenomenon,
exactly,
of tables and chairs all over.
Exactly. I'd love it. It's like, that would be so cool. okay, so people can get a hold of you on the Instagram page, and it's Come to the Table, correct?
It's called, yes, Come to the Table Project.
Come to the Table Project on Instagram. Look for Heidi there. Awesome, awesome, awesome things that you're doing, Heidi. I have a few minutes for you to give us a last word, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, and then I'd love for you to pray for us, and maybe we'll pray for that project.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh, that would be so exciting. Wow, you're getting me all stirred up here. That's good. The Lord's like, okay, let's go.
I gave you an idea. Let's get it going, huh? Do you have anything you want to share with the audience before I have you pray?
Yes. I think, if anything, having faith in what God tells us to do is so important. And I think sometimes, you know, that fear comes over us of, God, what is it that you want me to do? And we're just like, you know, maybe questioning or trying to understand whatever the message is that, you know, God has placed and said over us, whatever promises God has put over us. And we kind of, sometimes I feel like we put God in a box. And it's because of our humanity. Right. It's not because we're terrible people. It's just because of our humanity. And, you know, we want to understand things. And I think when we read the scripture, you know, we can see that God speaks in parables many times because yes. he's trying to get through us. Mm-hmm. And he speaks in this language that sometimes it's like we don't understand. And if we just would stop trying to figure God out.
yeah.
And just let...
Just go with the flow.
Yeah, just let the Spirit flow through us and just... You know, God is, sometimes I think, at least for me, I was waiting for big things to happen. And God was speaking in the very small things.
He uses the small things and expands them into big.
Yes, yeah. He absolutely does. Yeah. And so sometimes I was looking for him in backwards. I was looking for him in the big things.
And forgetting about the small things.
Yeah. And just not really seeing, you know, those details in there. Mm-hmm. And so I remember as a final note, I remember when I was praying for my sister, who I mentioned had been incarcerated. She'd been on drugs for such a long time. I think, gosh, at least 30 years on drugs. And I thought to myself, when God, when are you going to do this? And I remember I had invited her to church that particular day. And once again, she declined. And I went to church very discouraged. And I remember walking into the sanctuary very, very discouraged and just looking out into the altar. And it was such a powerful service that day. And I thought, when is it going to be my sister's turn? When is she going to be at this altar? And I remember the Lord just tell me, don't limit me to these walls.
Yep.
Amen. And I just started crying and just, you know, asking the Lord to forgive me for limiting him. Yep. And ever since then, I've always realized, you know, God is so big that sometimes we put him in a box and we expect, because we don't see it working a certain way.
Yeah.
We tend to like, God, it's got to be this way, but it's not.
Amen.
He always changes our expectation or our unlimited ways of thinking.
That's awesome.
And he says, let me show up and I'm going to show up in a different way. And that's just so beautiful. So whatever God is talking to you today about, whatever he's been dealing with you, just let the Lord, let God be God.
Amen.
And know that he is faithful and know that he has no limits.
Amen.
He has no limits.
Amen.
And so he's going to work beyond the walls of whatever your circumstance is. And he's going to work in a way that you are not expecting.
Amen. We have about 30 seconds. Can you pray?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your great love and your mercy. We thank you, God, for your grace. And we thank you that you are an all-powerful God. There is nothing you cannot do, Father. So today I pray, God, in the lives of every person that's listening today, Lord, every person that's tuning in, God, that you, God, would exceed and their expectation,
yes,
God,
Father.
Blow them away with your power, mm-hmm. Father, with the way that you only know how to do. And remind us, God, that we were not there when you created the earth. We were not there when you put the moon and the stars in the sky, Lord. So you have this thing taken care of, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would give someone peace right now. And I pray that you would give them assurance that you are taking care of this situation and you are going to move in a mighty way. We thank you and we believe it in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I just want to add also that, Father, I just ask that you come to the table, that you just take this to every state, Father, every city, out of the country, wherever you want to take it, Father God, we put that challenge out there, Father,
yes.
And we ask that it be anointed and blessed. And I pray all that in Jesus' name. Thank you,
in
Heidi.
Jesus' name.
Thank
Thank you for listening to this edition of Blossoms of My Life Radio. This program is listener supported.
Blossoms of My Life Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
To contact Ramona regarding donations, sharing your God story, or requests about her books, you can write to Ramona, Ramona Trevino,
P.O. Box 22731, Bakersfield, California, 93390.
That's P.O. Box 22731, Bakersfield, California,
93390.
Her website is the letter I, the letter M, dauntless.org. That's IamDauntless.org. Her email is Ramona@blossomsofmylife.org. That's Ramona@blossomsofmylife.org.
This program is a production and sponsored by Blossoms of My Life Radio Ministry and through listeners like you.
And in closing, we just want to remind you to remember to see and be a blossom in someone's life.